Just more of you. need is just more of you. That way this morning, you want more of him?
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly the way I feel. Amen. So we're going to get into the service this morning. Appreciate the prayers. And I know the Applegate family appreciates everyone's prayers also.
Amen.
I want to continue to pray for them because that's not something that you get over very quickly. I don't think you'd ever get over it, really. But I know that the pain of losing someone like a child, that pain stays around for a long time. And so we want to just remember them. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 12 this morning. I appreciate Brother Tim's specialty song. I know as a Christian walking in this world, we find ourselves many times asking ourselves and praying the words of that song. Because we want to be in God's perfect will. And we find ourselves praying exactly like that song. So, appreciate that. Exodus chapter 12. We'll begin reading at verse 1 and go through verse 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him, next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make, to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh of it that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning, and that which remaineth until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your souls, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let's just bow our hearts in prayer for a moment. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts to you now to thank you for this day and this opportunity we have to be gathered together around your word. And Lord, as always, we want to be faithful stewards of all that you've given us, standing at our post of duty. Lord, it is a joy to us to be able to do so. And we ask, God, that you would just find this gathering this morning, Lord, to be in your will, and that you would come, Lord, in your presence, and you would touch every heart of the things that you would have them to hear this morning. Lord, that you would touch them and whatever their conditions are, whether they're fighting battles or if they feel full of joy this morning, whatever their condition may be, we know, God, that you're able to speak to their hearts. and lay something there within them that has eternal value. And so, Lord, as we look into the Word this morning, we ask that you would help each one of us, Lord, me as a speaker, to speak your words, Lord, to be inspired by the Scriptures, inspired by your Spirit, Lord. And then your people, Lord, as they would hear, they too would be inspired to receive. And Lord, they would let the Holy Spirit in their lives put the Scriptures together, make the connections and the associations that they might go away with the right thought. We ask God that you would help us in these things. We commit this service in your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. How many love the Lord?
Amen.
He is good to us. Our God is an awesome God. It's the morning. I just want to talk to you. I'm going to title this application of the token. And I was telling Brother Daniel, you know, all week long I've been hearing this in the Lord in the Spirit say this, you know, applying the token, apply the token. And so I know that that's the direction I need to go this morning to speak to you. And so we'll just get right into it. I don't think it'll take a long time, but that's really up to me, I guess, really. Be up to you and to the Lord. But I'll try not to keep you a real long time today. So, the application of the token. I realize, and I believe myself, that if we ever lived in an hour where we really need to know what the token is and really need to know how to apply it, we're living in that time right now. Yeah. I believe the conditions of this earth and the conditions of the church world and the conditions that lay out here that we have to contend with are perfectly lined up. And of course, we know that. We're not saying something we don't already know because the prophet has already told us. But just so we might speak of these things this morning and see what the Lord would remind us of. And so, you know, there's been times throughout history where God's people got themselves into trouble, got themselves into bondage and all kinds of things like that. And it's at times like that that God chose to bring them out. And that's what we refer to when you look at Exodus. Exodus really speaks of not just one person being delivered, but really it speaks of a whole group of people, a whole host of people right. being delivered. But you'll find out that throughout history, God's people have got themselves into trouble or been into some sort of bondage or something like that, and God will come and deliver them. And we find also that in ourselves, in our own individual walk, we find ourselves getting in a place sometimes where we lift up our eyes and realize that we're really not in freedom. That somehow or another Satan has moved in and bound us in some way, in some form or fashion. And so I still think that the word Exodus applies to us too, even though it means a broad, you know, usually a large number of people going out. I'll just say it this way. There's some times in our life where God needs to come down and give deliverance to us, and not just deliverance to one part of us, but to all of us, everything about us to be delivered. And so that nothing is left behind, nothing left there for Satan to put his hands on. And so I believe that Exodus applies to us also. And there are times that people get into that situation, and it's those times that God chose to use the topic or the act of bringing the Exodus to God's people. And so one of the things I wanted to point out is that God sets the terms upon which this Exodus is going to happen.
Right.
I don't set it, you don't set it, Pharaoh didn't set it, the children of Israel didn't set it, but God is the one that set the terms. In other words, he's the one that said, I'll let this bondage and this hardship upon my people, I'll let it go thus far, and at that point, we'll reach a trigger point, and I'll move at that point. He sets that trigger point. He sets it so it's not, you know, if you have pain in your body, if you're fighting some enemy or something like that, it's not that we set the parameters as to how long we fight that battle until the Lord moves. He's the one that does that.
Right.
He's the one that sets the parameters of this Exodus. So he has a place drawn out there, and he says, when it gets to this point, as he told Abraham, he said, your seed will sojourn in a strange land. They'll come into bondage, you know, but and then the iniquity of the Amorites is not full yet.
Yeah.
See, but at some point, the iniquity of the Amorites would become full. At some point, that 400 years would come to pass, whatever, you know. And at that point, there'd be a trigger point where God would come. God would say, okay, now it's Exodus time. And so he did that, and that's the way we're going to talk about it this morning. And so he sets the parameters on when it would happen. He sets the parameters on how he would come and bring deliverance to his people. He sets the method. He sets the route at which he would do it. He would set the things that he would do, the destruction that would strike the enemy. He defines all those things and defines the destination of where he would take us to. So if we need to walk in a higher realm from where we are now in Christ Jesus, he's got it for us. He has a way to get us there, and he knows exactly where he's going to take us to.
Yeah.
And so we just have to do what the children of Israel did. And we know that God that it works this way, but we have to do what they did, and that is they begin to cry out to God when that time drew nigh. They probably didn't know it. See, they probably didn't realize it. But God puts in their heart to cry out for the thing that he wants to give them.
Yeah.
And so they begin to cry out to God for deliverance. And it was at the right time and everything. The conditions were coming to that place where that was to happen. And so they begin to do that. They begin to cry out to God for deliverance. And then, of course, the Lord said, I have heard the cry of my people.
Right.
And so if you feel like that you have something in your life that's in bondage, cry out to God about it.
Yeah.
Talk to him about it. Begin to speak to him about it. And he will hear the cry of his people. And you'll find out that God will come down and do the same thing he did as he did with Egypt. And so when the trigger point is reached, then God moves. And you know, sometimes in our prayer life, sometimes in our walk, sometimes we go an entire week and we feel like heaven is brass. We feel like that our prayers don't get any further than just fall out on the ground off of our lips. Sometimes you feel that way.
Right.
But you know what? Then there's sometimes when you're going through a time like that, when you hit it, you reach a trigger point that we don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. We reach a point, and all of a sudden God moves, and that brassy heaven disappears.
Yeah.
Right.
Everything changes whenever we touch God. And so that's what we want to do. We want to reach out to him and just cry out to God about what our desires are, what he is. Because really, if he hadn't put that in you, wouldn't be crying out for it anyway, right?
Right.
All right? So he puts it in you. And you turn around and begin to cry out to him for that. And so we find in the scriptures with Israel, they had gotten into bondage. And they reached a point where God said, enough is enough. It's time for me to come down. And he says, he calls Moses and he comes and he says, Moses, I've come down. I've heard the cry of my people. I've come down to deliver them. And so God comes down. And it's kind of interesting when it comes to these times and these places in our life or in history. There's times where God comes down himself. He doesn't send somebody else to do it, but he himself comes down. We know the scriptures tells us that. So he came down to deliver the children of Israel.
Right.
Says the scriptures. What was the next thing that God said to Moses? He said, Moses, I'm sending you. I've come down, but I'm sending you. This is not something new to us. We know this.
Right.
But if God was going to visit his people in that day and bring an exodus, and he was going to come down, but he was going to visit those people through a man. And we were willing to accept that in scriptures.
Right.
That God brought, then why would we not accept that today?
Right.
So God would come down and he would choose a man like Moses that he wasn't even an eloquent speaker. He stuttered or whatever. He couldn't speak well. He just, you know, I'll say it this way so you understand what I'm saying. Moses probably spoke in Kentucky language.
Yeah.
But that didn't hinder God from using him.
Right.
So God came down and said, I've come down to bring an exodus, to bring my people out of bondage, but I'm sending a man to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he anointed Moses, and he went forth to do this great act of bringing the exodus. You find out that when he did, that many great signs and wonders were done by Moses, or by God through Moses. Many things were done. There was frogs, lice, fleas. There was hail with fire mingled. Turned the water into blood. He did all kinds of things like that. But if you'll notice, none of those things conquered Pharaoh enough that he would let the people go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there were some great signs and wonders that happened that God had shown through them. But none of those set the people free. But what was it that did set the people free? Was it death of the firstborn? And I really want to focus on the fact of the sacrificial lamb, not just the firstborn, but it's the same thing. Because it's that firstborn lamb, we read it, a firstborn. He was to be slain. That was going to be the Passover lamb. And so none of those mighty things that happened, the hail, fire, and the blood, and water turned to blood, all that stuff. None of those things actually conquered Pharaoh enough. The scripture actually says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. It actually says in some places God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
But my point is that God had this all figured out in such a way, and he wants to speak something here, and he wants to say to the people that that though great signs and wonders can happen and things like that, there's one particular thing that's reserved that's going to make the difference, and that is going to be Passover lamb. That's going to be the shed blood of an innocent one. This is going to make it happen. And so I would say that in our walk today, if we're fighting and struggling something, it's not going to be miracles, signs, wonders, whatever, but it'll be when we come to that place where we get on the grounds of the shed blood of the innocent one. It's in that realm and in that mode when we get there that we begin to see deliverance come. Because it's not going to come anything short than the blood of Jesus Christ. And so you might speak in tongues, you might have prophecy, tongues, interpretation, you might see divine healing and all that. But none of that, all of that's worthless if you don't have Him.
Amen.
Right? So we have to have Him. So great signs and wonders were done, but none of those things set the people free. But it was the shed blood of the innocent one. It was the Passover that did this thing. And if you'll also notice that all the time that Moses was doing all these miracles, the children of Israel were sitting back like this watching. Mm-hmm. See? And all the time that those miracles were going on, and I'd look at it and say, man, if I was Pharaoh, I would quit now while I'm ahead. But Pharaoh didn't. It isn't supposed to be that way. Mm-hmm. But you realize when it comes right down to the thing that was going to make the difference, this was the area where God said, okay, now we're going to do one last thing, and this is going to work. The fire, the blood, and all those other things, the frogs, lice, and fleas, and all that, that's not going to work. But I'm going to bring one more plague. One more plague, and this plague's going to work. Because this one has to do with shed blood. Mm-hmm. This has to do with the atonement. This one's going to work. But however, in this one, you can't sit back and just watch. Right. I require that you be involved in this one.
Yep.
See? So what I want to show you is that if you want deliverance, it'll never be God just standing back, and you're back here doing this and letting Him doing it. You'll find total deliverance in your life when you engage with God and you get in the middle of this thing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's actually that. When we actually come to the place where we interact with Him, that's what the token was, the shed blood, had come to that. And so we realize that it's not just, as we read in the scriptures there, it's not just the shed blood of that lamb that made the difference. But it was what the people did in their interaction to that blood and to that lamb. That's what made the difference, see? And so it wasn't just the blood. As a matter of fact, the blood made room for the token. Right? Because you could shed the blood, but if you didn't put it on your doorpost, you had no token.
Yeah.
But though he had been slain. So it takes more than just the slaying of the innocent one. It's more than just the blood of Jesus Christ. It's more than just the Spirit of God that's the literal life that comes back to us now. It's more than that, but what is it? It's what we do with that.
That's right. Right.
That's the difference. What we do with what God has done.
Amen.
And what we do with it makes a difference in our day. And so if we just want to sit back and with our arms folded and not do anything about what God has done, then we're not going to get victory. And so we find out that there will be no exodus. There would be no exodus if there wasn't the shedding of that blood and the applying of that token. The applying of that blood to be the token. If that had not happened, there would not have been an exodus.
Right.
And it's the same today. There will be no exodus in our day. We know today we are in the third exodus.
Yeah.
There will be no exodus today unless there is a rejected shed blood of an innocent one. And a token, and that token is applied, there will be no exodus until that's happened, see? And we know we're in the midst of that right now. And so, it's not just the blood and the sacrifice, but it's what people do with that. And so we find out in scriptures that God required them to interact with this sacrifice and get involved with this sacrifice, and it was called the token, and they're applying it for the token. And you'll find out, Brother Random tells us, that the token superseded all other claims, all other stances that anybody would take. The token superseded all that, and it was. He said it in this manner, that a man could say, "I am of the seed of Abraham," but it made no difference if you were seed of Abraham. If you didn't have a token, your condemnation was upon you. Destruction was upon you.
Right.
You could say, "I'm a son of Abraham." And I've been circumcised, and I can show you I'm circumcised. It made no difference, see? It came down to the place where nothing mattered. Nothing was going to work, see? Nothing else was going to work except, do you have the token?
Right.
And if you have the token, then the condemnation and the judgment that's actually meant for Egypt will not be upon you. And I think it's interesting, you find out, see, God is the one who is behind this judgment. This death angel to come through the land was the destroying angel. Brother Branham calls it the destroyer, and that destroyer could not come into the houses where the blood was. But God is the one that commissioned him and sent him forth, and he is a destroyer, and his purpose was to bring judgment upon Egypt.
Yeah.
But the judgment, in order for the judgment to work, it had to be so severe that even come close, right outside the front door of the believers. Mm-hmm. It had to be that decisive of a judgment. It wouldn't be just a little this, a little that, but God would have to get it such a powerful judgment that would reach into everything to such a place that if there had not been blood, it would have gotten the Hebrews too.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So in order for God to bring us a body change and deliver us from this dimension and take us over, this world has to be judged. Everything, I heard Brother Branham say yesterday, every sin has to be visited. Mm-hmm. Every sin has to be accounted for, has to be dealt with.
Right.
Every one of them. And so judgment comes down upon Egypt to destroy Egypt just for the purpose of setting God's people free. But it's such a powerful judgment that God has to come down and he has to go right through the alleyways and right through the streets, right past the door of the Hebrews to get all of the Egyptians. He's got to get that close to the believer to make it work.
Yeah.
But the only way he can do that is to put a protection there so that as that death angel moves past your door, that there's got to be something there to keep that from coming to you because you're not appointed to wrath. See, the people of God were not appointed to wrath, but Egypt was.
Right.
So his judgment was going to come to Egypt, but he wanted to protect you, protect his people. And it's that way today. So there will never be an exodus until there's a sacrifice and that token is applied. And when that judgment comes, it's at the hand of God. And it's coming down to bring a judgment upon the world, but not upon you. But it will be so powerful that in order to keep it from you, he would have to give you something that would protect you. So we know that is the token. And he didn't recognize anything else. He didn't recognize anything else at all. It was the token life. That was the only thing that death angel would observe and say, okay, I can't go in there. But I said what I did a while ago when Brother Branham mentioned that. He said it was a destroyer. And it went forth to get everybody except those that are sealed. I'm going to say it that way. And when we talked last year about those bottomless pit opening up and locusts coming out of the pit and how there was an army went forth and it was 200 million. Remember us talking about that? Apollyon and Abaddon. That was the two names given it.
Right.
Destroyer. Go look it up. About 100 years ago, as Jason mentioned it last week, and I didn't say anything like this before, but he's right. When those things came out of the pit, you have to realize there were already devils here on the earth, but these were reserved.
Right.
And somewhere around 100 years ago, that pit opened up and the destroyer came. Egypt. The destroyer came, and it went out and was able to go get everybody that didn't have the seal of God.
Right.
So you see, we are in Exodus hour. See, that's what's going on. And it all comes back that the evils that has gone out to perpetrate and do is going to has a license to go to every person, every place, unless they have the Holy Ghost. And then, of course, they cannot.
Right.
It's just saying the same thing that we see here in the Exodus. And so God required for them to interact with this sacrifice and apply the token to their house. And so unless there was that sacrifice and that token, there would be no Exodus. And so I think, you know, it would be important for us to pay attention to all the things about the Exodus. And I'm not going to mention all of them, I don't think. But I want to point out some things that has, you know, come to mind on this. And so there's a lot of parameters. As I said, God controls the parameters of the Exodus and the terms and all that. We find out that in the scriptures that the lamb had to be slain at evening time. They had to slay it at evening time. And Brother Bram said the token could not be applied until evening time. So if we realize that we here in Laodicea an hour in that last stage, and he said, I'll come and I'll sup with you. Sup is the last meal of the day. So to the Laodicean people, the Lord Jesus said, if you'll let me come in, I'll knock at the door. If you let me come in, I will sup with you. I will have the last meal of the day with you. Mm-hmm. Meaning that the very next thing that happens is a new day. Right? You enter into rest, you come to a new day. The token could not be applied until evening time. So that tells you that the token message would not come forth until it was evening time, message time. And when that token message come forth, it would be the evening message.
Yeah.
Right? Now I'm saying that because we know we're in evening times and we've heard the evening message. So I want you to be encouraged to know that we are right now living in the days of the Exodus, and we have a token message. We have the message of the hour, the message of evening time message right now.
Right.
And so it had to happen at evening time. Well, you know, evening time is a dark time. And evening time is a time where most people are, you know, kicking their shoes off, putting their nightgown on or their pajamas on, and getting ready to rest and relax. They're not going about it doing things like they're getting ready to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Evening time was a time where you consider yourself being lazy, you know, and just entering into rest and that sort of thing. And so we find out that here in the scriptures it was at evening time, and really at midnight, he said, at midnight I'll pass through the land and bring judgment upon it. And so it was at evening time, and it's an evening time message. And you find out that in this particular time, God was telling the children of Israel to do things differently. Because if you want different things to happen, you gotta have different things you do.
Yeah.
Everybody understand what I'm saying? If you want a different result, do something different. So this Passover night had to be a different night. They couldn't eat the same meal they always eat. They couldn't wear the same clothes. They couldn't be about the same thing that they were. This night had to be different, and it had to be different than all the rest of Egypt.
Right.
Why? Why was it different? Why that night, when it was Passover night, and they were slaying that lamb, and they were sharing it with one another, speaking of fellowship, right?
Yeah.
To make sure, because we're going out together,
right.
Fellowship. And so they were slaying the lamb. We were preparing. They were going about different actions. They instead of resting and relaxing for the evening, where they had the apparel on like they were going to go on journey. Why was it different for them? Why was it that way? It was different because they had a message.
Right.
They had heard something that had told them to do this, and so the message, the token message, the voice of a prophet telling them what to do to prepare. That changed their daily actions. See, what they were doing that day, entering into token life. They had to wear something different, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. And so, when these people were ready to go to bed normally, not the Hebrews, they were up and at it. Because it was at evening time, night time. And how many knows the scripture said that when Christ comes, he comes as a thief in the night?
Right.
So this judgment was going to come upon Pharaoh and his people. God chose it to be nighttime rather than daytime for a purpose. It's a time to show us it would be at evening time. God, at the end of the day, at the evening time message, at the Laodicean message, again, we know we're at rapture time. We're the only people who do know.
Right.
But here we are. We know right here we're at rapture time in the Laodicean ages here, and it's in this hour we can expect God to bring a great deliverance. We can expect there to be a token message. We can expect the believer in this hour to walk different, act different, talk different, even eat different than the rest of the world.
Right.
Because they've heard a message. Because it's evening time. This thing's fiction changed to a new day. We're going to enter into the millennium shortly. And so that's why it's happened this way. The people would normally be entering into rest. But this night was a different night, and so their actions were different, their food was different, their apparel was different, because they were underneath the message.
Yeah.
I say that because people, you know, that's one of the things that people despise nowadays. They want to leave the message because the message wants to tell them what they can wear, or what they can eat, or what they can do, or what they, you know, it really, that God owns us, and he has a right to have his hand in every facet of our lives.
Right.
Every bit of it. But people don't want that.
Right.
Just like the scripture said, in that day, seven women will take hold of one man, right? And they would say, well, you know, let us wear our own apparel and all that, but just let us be called by thy name.
Yeah.
So seven, the churches of seven ages, I'm talking about the fallen churches of seven church ages, they want to be claimed by the bride of Christ. They want to have the name of Christ, but they want their own apparel. They want to be, don't want to be clothed with his righteousness.
Right.
They want their own apparel. They want to provide their own thing. And that's the problem today. People do not want him to have total control of their life from top to bottom.
Right.
But you find out that's it must be. We have to. And so, and that's here's this depicted here in this Exodus. It's all depicted there. What they were doing that Exodus night had to be different. What they were eating had to be different.
Right?
Right? What they wore was different. Their preparations was different. They weren't preparing to go to bed.
Right.
They were preparing to get out of here.
Amen.
See? That's what has to be. And so if we're under a token message, if we're under an evening time token message and death is running through the land, and we're going to be protected, we have to be different, not because we're wanting to, but because the voice of a prophet has declared it. This is what you must do to avoid the judgment. So, we have to be a different people. We can't eat like Egyptians eat. We can't wear the clothes of the Egyptians or the fallen church. We can't be like what they are. We have to be different. And the dictates of what difference we are comes from the message of the hour. And that's what it is. And so, he'll come like a thief in the night. But how many knows the scripture said to the believer, you are not children of night. You are children of the day, that day will not come upon you like a thief in the night. That's what the scripture said. So we have to take that to the bank and say, you know what, I'm a believer, I'm looking, I'm searching, I'm eating a different diet, I'm not acting like I'm planning on staying here.
Right.
I'm acting like I'm ready to get out of here because I've been told to do so. And I know that's a tricky thing because Brother Graham said, keep planting your potatoes.
Right.
You know? I beat myself up because I wanted to build that shop out there, you know. Well, what, you know, makes it look like I want to stay for a while. No, I don't want to stay for a while. See what I'm saying? I'm still doing and planting potatoes and holding my job and doing my posting duty and all that. But I am looking to get out of here. Because this place is cursed. This earth is cursed, you know. But God doesn't want it. He's not got a curse upon us, you know. Not upon, you know, us as his people. And so we're looking to get out of here. They had to live different that night. And that was part of the dictates from Moses, from God through Moses for them to do what they were doing. But what if they hadn't done that? What if they had not have slain the lamb? Well, you know what would happen? The judgment would come upon them. But we have all facets of people who want to just do a little bit of things and not do everything that God wants them to do. And so maybe we'll just touch on that a little bit too as we go. But definitely had to be a different night for them, a different thing. And so we find out that the lamb that they slay was to slay, that lamb was Christ, that type of Christ. Because he was the firstborn. He was male, the male. He was entered into the city, was there. They said, I find no fault in him. He was inspected, no fault found in him. And so he was this was typing Christ. He was kept up and inspected.
Right.
And they said, I even declared there just before they crucified him, said, I find no fault in him. And so, same way, I've been inspecting the Lord Jesus Christ for many, many years, for 20 some odd years, and I've not found a fault in him yet.
Yeah.
I know I won't find one either. I'm not looking for one, but you know what I'm saying? I look at him and I see. And so that's my declaration. There's no fault in him. And so I don't mind having him go before me to prepare the way for me because I know he's perfect. Mm-hmm. And so he was the male lamb that was a type of him that had been inspected. And his blood, because of this, his blood was released. Now what if he hadn't told them? What if he said, yeah, just take whatever lamb you want? But you see, God narrowed it down. This is a strict pathway.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it this way to tie it to the message. It's the harder way. Mm-hmm. It's the narrow way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my way, said God. See, that was what came through Danny Henry, the prophecy to Brother Branham. This is my way. It's the harder way.
Right.
See, But there was a choosing that Brother Branham had chosen, and there's a choosing we do. We make a choice when we see what God is saying, we see what's laying before us, and we look at that, and we all have the choice to go the easy way, or we can choose the harder way. And we choose the way of the Word, the way of redemption, which is the harder way when it comes right down to it, but it's the way of redemption. And that's why we walk that way. And so, His blood was shed, and that blood, when it was shed, made it possible for the children of Israel to have a token. Without the shedding of that blood, there would have been no token. Right?
Right.
Now, Brother Bram tells us the word token, when he says it means a fair price paid. He said, when you go to get on a bus or go to get on an airplane, he said, you can't give the bus driver cash money. They require you to pay for your ticket elsewhere. You get a token, and you come in, you give them the token. And we understand why they do that, to keep money from getting stolen and all that. They have a way of doing that. But whenever it comes time to get on the bus, money wouldn't do it. It was the wrong thing. It was the token that was required.
Right.
See, it didn't make no difference if it was President of the United States. He had to have a token.
Yeah.
See? And so it doesn't matter. The token has to be what is presented. And so the shed blood of that lamb and the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the shed blood today, which we'll get to in a little bit, all of those bring forth a token. They bring forth the token that's required in the hour that they were talking about. See, in Moses' day at the Exodus there was a token, and we tell about what it is here. It was required. And the shedding of that blood made it possible for them to have the token, which was the blood. And they were commanded to take that blood and put it on the doorpost, put it on the two side posts and the top. And Brother Bram said it this way, so that whether they're coming or they're going, they have to be associated or identified with that blood. And so this is the thing. This is the one thing I said earlier. Well, all the other things that Moses did didn't require the people's interaction, but it also didn't set them free. But when it come down to this one, the people had to be involved, and they had to be thoroughly identified with that lamb. They had to be identified with that message. Because all the Hebrews and all the Pharisees, or all the Egyptians, whoever, they could all walk by your house and see whether or not you was in the message or not.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was not, that night of Passover was not the hour to play around with it.
Right.
It wasn't the hour to say, well, you know, I'm not sure of this, so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll slay the lamb, catch the blood in a bucket. I'll set the bucket out by the front door, and I'll just wait. And if something starts happening, I'll grab it and paint it on the door real quick, and I'll be safe. Well, that's a fence strider.
Right.
God has called us to be packed, to be, you know, and say we're either in or we're out.
Right.
You're not going to be something because if you're straddling the fence, you're out. That's basically all there is to it. You got it. He's called us to an hour that we've got to be totally sold out to the truth of God's Word. If we expect to go out in this Exodus, we've got to have complete identification with our sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
With the atonement of this Exodus, with the male firstborn slain, no fault in him. We've got to be associated with that, identified with that, and everybody's going to be able to see it. Yeah. And if you're trying to live it in such a way that everybody can't see it, you're not living it.
Right.
You're not associated with it.
Right.
Because he didn't say put it on the back door. He didn't say put it on the window. He said put it on the door. And so it was on the door where everybody could walk down the street, they could look and see that you were a believer of the message that Moses had in that day. Or in this hour, they can tell that you believe God sent a prophet with a message.
Right.
So we don't want to hide that. We want to make it clear. We are not ashamed to be identified with our message.
Amen.
And with what God has told us in our message. We're not afraid. And so they had to put that on the doorpost. And it wasn't, you know, like I think maybe Brother Brandon or somebody gave the example. Well, why don't we just paint the whole roof red? Well, he didn't say use to paint the roof red. He said paint the door, see? Because it would mean something different. But it means exactly what it says. And when you put it on the doorpost, it means that as you pass through there, you're passing underneath that blood. And you know, the children of Israel, they had the law back then, and you can read about it. And so... they would have it, they say, let it be frontlets between your eyes. But they had this thing they put on the doorpost there called a mezuzah. I believe that's the way you say it. But it was the law. It was the commandments and so forth. And they had it by the doorway. And when they walked through there, they'd reach up and touch it or whatever. And these were things that the scriptures tells us. That the law of God, the truth of God, His word was ever before us. Always between my eyes. Right there, always with my thoughts. Which kind of ties to the right hand or forehead being marked. If we're marked with the Word of God, then it's always before us. The delivering message is always before us. And everywhere we go, it's what we think, and it's what we want to support. And if you're not, if you're in some denominational system or in some other system, well, then that's what your ultimate is, and that's what's before you, and that's what you bless. And so what he's speaking of here, whenever it's over the doorpost, was talking here that God was establishing a safety zone. God was establishing this safety zone, and you would enter in through the identification of the slain lamb by being identified and walking underneath the doorway of that marking. You were walking into that zone of protection that was provided by the lamb whose blood was over the door. So now if we translate that today, it's not the literal blood, but it's the life. The life that was come forth from Jesus Christ. The life that come from the shed blood word of this day, the bleeding word of this day. The life that come from that, that's our token, but we've got to have it on display, and we have to pass into a compartment where that blood or where that life is there to protect us. And so you can't come in or go out, but what you have to deal with that message. So you can enter into that doorway, going into its protection, or you can turn around and walk right back out and go out of its protection. But no matter how you do it, you're identified with what your approach is to that message by which way you're going with it.
Amen.
So you go into it, you're protected. You go out from it, you're not protected. And there was no way, any other way to do it, because you know windows, you don't go in and out of the house as a window, and you can look through a window, but the door is what you walk through. So you have to be your very walk. Your purpose of your steps has to show your purpose of entering in the identification of that end time message in our day.
Amen.
Entering into that token message, your life has to declare it.
Right.
You can't be ashamed of it. It's always been Jesus Christ. And it's still Jesus Christ today. And so that's what they... What it was, you had to enter in under the door. Now the scripture said that once they enter in, it said that you're going to eat this lamb. And it said that blood, you put it over it over the door where you're going to go in and you're going to eat the lamb. And so you notice the scripture said you have to eat this lamb and you have to eat all of it. You have to eat it. You have to eat it in haste.
Right.
You have to have your shoes on your feet, your loins girded, staff in your hand. And eat this hastily. And so eat the lamb. And we know that types the word. Eat the word. Eat the message of the hour. Because the identification that you're being identified with. This is the flesh. This is the word of that rejected one. The one that was rejected. Which because he was rejected. Gave token life. Made it available. Because if he hadn't have been, there's no token life available, but he was slain. Now token life is available. You have to mark that, be identified, and enter into that walk.
Yep.
And then while in that walk, you're eating the word, the flesh of that lamb who's been slain. And in our day, it was Christ Jesus, the word brought back to the church. To today, and it was rejected by the church word, and it's that very rejection that released something that you and I can have that will take us out of here.
Yeah.
It has to be rejected before that can come. And so that's what happened. And so you go in and you eat this lamb, you eat the word of this message.
Yeah.
And as you eat that, the scripture said it had to be roast by fire. He said you could not eat it raw. And you could not soak it or boil it in water, sodden with water, but you had to eat it roast with fire. Why? It's the word of God that was slain. And it couldn't be raw. It had to go through fire. It had to go through the judgment and the purification. In other words, it had to stand the test of fire, stand the test of of God's trying it, see? And so we're not eating of a lamb that's just raw.
Right.
We're eating a lamb who's been through the fire.
Yeah.
This message has been through the fire.
Yeah.
And we're eating that message because it's been through the fire. And we're not going to soak it in water because water represents humanity, right? In the Bible, waters is peoples. We're not going to take that and soak it and water it down and soften it by people and their doctrines and their ideas. We're going to take it just straight from the kiln of God's fire, from the oven of His fire, and where it's been roasted. We're going to eat it like that. And the Scripture said, eat all of it, not just some of it, but all of it. So everything that's in that word, everything it says do, everything it says not do, we eat all of it. We accept every bit of it. And so there's probably parts of that lamb you probably wouldn't want to eat. But the Scripture said eat all of it, see? And we all come to places where the Word has to skin us alive just about, where it's hard to accept it, but we have to say, not nevertheless, not my will, but thy will.
Right.
So we say that. And so we have to enter into this place and eat this lamb that's been tested and tried by fire, not watered down with any other doctrine, any other creed, just as pure as can be, right from the fire of God's oven. And that's what we have to do. We have to eat it, eat all of it, accept all of it. But he said, have your feet, shoes on your feet, your loins girded, have your staff in your hand, because this is Passover night. It's a different night.
Right.
We live in a different age, people. We live in a different hour. And we need to be clothed, and our actions need to show that we're expecting to leave this place soon.
Yeah.
I don't mean, you know, if you need a new car, I don't mean don't go buy a new car. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about stuff like that. But I'm saying in our walk with God, we don't want to be tangled up with stuff that's going to hold us back.
Right.
Brother Graham said it this way. He said, we're going to apply the token now. And he said, we're going to clean up this place around here. We're going to put all the magazines out, all the, you know, he named it different ways from different times, but these romance books and cards and decks of cards and different things. He said, we're going to clean all that, put all that out, see? And he named all kinds of stuff. If you want to do a study, just go search it and see how many different things he said. But what he was talking about there is all these things that are contrary to the gospel, contrary to the message, all these things that is going to hold you back, all these things that if you're tied up in them, you're really not ready to go.
Right.
It's all those things. He said, we got to put those things out, clean it up, get it out of here, because we're going to apply the token. And what he's trying to tell you, he actually says in there, he says, if our heart condemns us not, then we can go and we can pray and we know that God's going to answer. But if our heart condemns us, what do you think he's even going to answer if you know you're condemned already, see?
Right.
And so what he's speaking of here is that when you want to enter into this token, he said, we're going to apply it and you have to clean all this stuff out so that you can apply the token. He's saying there that you've got to diligently seek in your life and find the things that's a hindrance and get rid of those.
Yeah.
So anything that's going to make you not have your staff in your hand, not have your shoes on your feet, and the rest of the world's sleeping. They're ready to rest. But God's telling you and I, it's not time to rest. It's time to be clothed, ready to go, with your staff in your hands, because you got a journey. You're fixing to get out of here.
Right.
And so that's what he's telling us. So we want to clean up the place and put all that stuff out so that nothing is hindering us. So we can go forth in freedom when he says so.
Yeah.
And so our shoes on our feet, staff in her hand, and he said, eat it with bitter herbs. And I'm sure Brother Brown probably talked about that. I didn't check to see what he would say about it, but I know that there's a bitterness in the experience.
Yeah.
There was a bitterness of bondage. As a memorial to come, whenever the children of Israel would always eat this Passover, they'd eat it with bitter herbs, you know, so that as the people could be aided, they could be reminded of the events and of all the things. And I'm sure that there were Hebrews, probably had some Egyptian friends that they played with in the streets that were left behind. That probably, you know, so there was a bitterness. I know that if God does not have pleasure in the destruction of the wicked, neither does his people.
Right.
And I tell you that when children of Israel was being pursued and they crossed the Red Sea, And Pharaoh's army come through that water after them, and they came out on the other side, and they turned around, and here was the Egyptian army coming at them. And that water come in and crashed on top of them, and killed all them guys. You talk about a bittersweet emotion that should have been on with the children of Israel. Yeah, they could rejoice and be happy that they were set free now, that that enemy was no longer, but there had to be some remorse too because of all the lost lives. You see what I'm saying? So it's bittersweet. So eating with bitter herbs, there's a bitterness that goes along with this. There was the word that we were to eat. John was to eat the book. And it was sweet in his mouth, became bitter in his belly. So there's a bitterness in this experience that we have to taste. Because Jesus had a Gethsemane. Jesus had a cross. There was bitterness in his walk. And we have to be associated with that walk. We have to be associated with the suffering and the dying that has happened to make a way for us. We have to do that. And so, that's to me, that's what the bitter herbs is speaking of. So when you translate that into our day, you realize that God brought us a message. He came to those earths. It was time for us to be delivered out of the bondage of churchism. And God himself came down. Amen? God himself came down and said to a man named William Branham, I'm sending you. See what I'm saying? And brought a message, and that message was rejected. It was rejected by the church world. But because of that rejection, that shows that it's the life of Christ. Because if it would have been accepted, it wouldn't be the type. See, it wouldn't follow that. But when it was rejected, it proved again that Christ was on the scene. When the world rejected it. And any time it's Christ and he's rejected and the sufferings that he has, there's something that comes from that, this life that can come upon the believer. And so God sent a message in our day. It's actually the token message to us. And it was rejected. That's why Brother Branham said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because that's what they did. But what I want you to see here is that if there had not been a rejection, there would be no token. Without a token, there'd be no Exodus. So in our day, there had to be the bleeding word. There had to be a message of God that was Christ himself come through a man, just like it did in the Bible, and it be rejected. And from that rejection, there's a life that comes out. And guess what you and I have to put on the doorpost? The identification of that rejected message is what we put on the doorpost. See? Doorpost of our heart, whatever, because it's the life. It's not really your doorpost. But that everybody can look at you and see that you're associated with a message that the rest of the world rejected.
Amen.
But you take that, and that's our token. That's our life. So we identify ourselves with it, and we enter into that secret place, and we eat that word. And everything that it tells us, we keep eating it, keep eating it. And there might be things we don't want to eat about it, but we eat it anyway because he said eat all of it. As I drew the little picture on the thing here a while back, maybe 6 or 8 months ago, showing Christ and covered a little bit of him up. Well, I don't want that. I don't want that. Well, how much of it can you cover up until you don't get rapturing life anymore? The truth of the matter is you can't cover any of it up. Because every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, not just some words, but every word. And Eve just changed the serpent to her. One word changed it and made the whole human race fall. So every word, so all of Christ, so everything that's in that message that's rejected, serpent seed, Godhead, all those truths, hell's not eternal, you name it. Women to dress this way, men to act this way, do this, do that. All of those functions that are in there, we embrace that, we eat that, we accept that, we're identified with that, because that's the token of the hour. And I know that sounds exclusive, but I'll ask you a question. Who else out there has got it? Do you realize for them, in order for the rest of the church world to know nothing about a second crucifixion? They know nothing about it. Because before they could believe that Christ was crucified in this day, they'd have to believe he'd come again.
Yeah.
They don't even believe that. See, it's an exclusive message for the bride. She knows he's come. They don't, because they rejected it. They never recognized what it was, just like it was back in Jesus' days. It was rejected. And so it sounds exclusive because it is exclusive to the bride. Not that we make it that way, but that God made it that way. God discriminates very much according to spirit, according to predestination. And so he come down. They don't know it, so they can't even begin to fathom that he's been crucified again, because they don't even know he's come.
Yeah.
They didn't even know he came down and manifested through a prophet. But he has. And so it's that life in that message that comes out that we can apply to be our token. And it's not just what Brother Branham suffered. It's not just what the message has suffered at the hands of the world. It's not just that. That's needful. But it's what you and I do with that. That's the shed blood. That's the bleeding word of this hour. And it's not just the bleeding word, but it's what you and I do with that bleeding word. Because you and I will not go in a body change until that life that was rejected in that ministry of William Branham, when that life that was rejected, until we take all of that and we identify with all of that and we taste the bitterness of all of that. You see what I'm saying? And we've separated ourselves from the world where we truly, if God looked upon us, he would look at us, seeing us staying here, eating that lamb, eating that bitter herbs, with our shoes on our feet, with our clothes, and with our staff in our hand, standing beneath that blood-stained banner of the message of the hour. When he sees us all like that, there will be an exodus. But until we get to the place where we're really doing that, we're just waiting for the exodus. You understand what I'm saying? And so we must be totally, completely identified with the rejected message. Right? So right in the midst of the hour when this destroyer is coming forth, God gave us a token message. And I believe it. I believe it very much. I'm a human, and I don't walk, I make mistakes just like everybody else does, and there's many days where I just don't measure up like I would like to. I know we can all say that. But I believe this message. I believe all of it.
Yeah.
I don't pick and choose. If I do, God has right to spank me over it. Okay, it's you too, to spank you. And so I'm not willingly, if there is, it's not something I'm aware of. Because I've always said, you know, that's right. Even if it takes the hide off of me, that's right. That word is correct. And I'm not going to go about trying to establish some sort of teaching or doctrine or system that makes it okay if there's something in here that's not okay.
Right.
See what I'm saying? If we're going about doing something that's contrary to this token message in this hour, I'm not going to try and cover up and say it's okay. I'm going to say, you know what? We have missed the mark. And God help us to get this thing straightened out. That's my point, is to say we want to eat all of it. We don't want to make excuses. Well, I don't like, you know, that's the crunchy part. I don't like the crunchy part. You eat it anyhow. You see what I'm saying? And so that's how it works. We want to be totally, completely identified with this message by it being on display. Don't be ashamed of it. People are going to make fun of you. That's fine. But you just realize that in order for there to be an exodus today, there had to be a shed blood. And you say, well, we're talking about Christ. Well, we are. Christ 2,000 years ago, that's the shed blood. But he's also Christ today. It was Christ with Moses, lamb being slain. It was Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and it's Jesus Christ now in this message. It's all him. He's always the one that was the shed blood, but we have to be identified with the Christ of our day, right? The Christ of our day. And we want to do that. And so, what matters more than anything, I suppose, I guess I could say, is what our interaction is with this message. We must be identified with it. Total identification. I don't think we'd go around and say, you know, God sent a prophet. You can be dogmatic about something. You know what I'm saying? You can go out there and you can do and say things in a way that will absolutely offend. But you know what? When it comes time to witness to somebody, if God gives you favor with anybody long enough to enter into a conversation with them at all, to witness and to begin to, you know, then we don't want to be ashamed of what we stand for.
Right.
We can't say, you know, I don't want to do that because I know they're going to come by and they're going to make fun. In a little bit, my friends are going to walk down my street. They walk down the street this time every evening, and they're going to see the blood on the door, and I don't want them to make fun of me. Mm-hmm. You got to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. See? And there ain't a one of us in here that hasn't had to suffer at our own kinfolk to disagree with us. They'll call you and ask you to pray for them, but they don't want to have nothing to do with what you preach or what you believe. You see what I'm saying? So their own testimonies will speak out against them on that day. And so this thing is much greater. You know, you heard the phrase, blood's thicker than water. But I'll tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ is thicker than anything humanity's got out there. Mm-hmm. They're the water. Right? Yeah. And when it comes right down to it, we're going to embrace the blood and so the association of that blood, that shed blood, and that comes first. Long before any family members do. We're going to stay true to the word all the way. And if that means that my mom, my brothers, my sister, and anybody else, aunts and uncles or whatever, if that means that they won't have nothing to do with me, I'm sorry. I don't want it that way. You know, I don't try to make it that way. But I'm going to stay with God's word and his message. And if that's the way it lays, then that's the way it lays. See? So whatever's in that sacrifice, whatever's bound up in that association, we got to be willing to embrace it. So if we find out that Christ, you know, we thought he was all beautiful and handsome, and the scripture said he wasn't beautiful, you know, nothing beautiful to look at or whatever, and we're thinking, oh, he's so beautiful and wonderful like that, and we find out, we see he's ugly or something, well, I don't want nothing to do with him because he's not handsome like I thought. Well, you're in trouble, see. We take him for what he is, because bound up in him is the package of eternal life, and that's the only way you get access to it is to have him. And that's what I say to the Lord in prayer a lot of times. Because we're nothing without him.
Yeah.
Right? We are nothing without him. But with him, we're everything. Everything that we need to be. Amen. Let's let the musicians come up, or Brother Tim, I guess, in this case. Man. So, applying the token. I'll say a few more things here as he gets ready for a song. But how do we apply this token? Brother Ram said this. He said, you clean all the stuff out of the house, you get all that, and the token is the Holy Ghost that's come upon you. Same life, the life of the Word that comes upon you. But he said, now apply the token. He said, you believe for yourself, now believe for your family, right? You believe for yourself, and you take the same faith, and he said that hyssop that they applied the blood with was just common weed that was found everywhere. Brother Brent said, people make the mistake in divine healing and stuff like that. They think it has to be some supernatural type faith. He said, it's just the common faith that you have that you go out and you start your car with.
Right.
You walk out there and you don't doubt one bit. It's going to happen. It's just a common faith. He said, that hyssop grew everywhere, and you, no matter where it's at, just reach down and grab some and apply it.
Yeah.
And you apply that token. So it's simple. We don't have to have some supernatural, souped up horsepower or something. Just take the common faith of the Word of God and apply it and say, God, by this I'm saved and I'm going to apply it for my people. But what I wanted to show you here was, he said, now when you go and you pray, he said, present your token with your prayer. So you're praying for someone, you're praying for your lost loved ones, whatever. And he said, you present your token with that prayer. And the best thing that I can say is that, you know, when a man, a prophet of old, may be standing there and he needed the anointing of God, and he's standing there in himself, but at some point he could pray or they could play music or whatever, and the Spirit of God would come upon him, and now he's a different person.
Yeah.
Still the same flesh, but now it's a different life that's fixing to prophesy or fixing to do something here. And all I can say is that when we pray in the Spirit, and when God, that life of that Lamb, when we get anointed, let that be what's there when you pray. So that if God is standing there and hears that prayer come forth, what he's looking at there, he's not looking at you, he's looking at the life of that Lamb.
Yeah.
He's looking at that voice who's giving that prayer And he can't turn it down. Brother Branham said he cannot turn that away. God can't. So don't just pray, but get in the Spirit. Pray until you are anointed of God, and then with that anointing that you know is token life, that God has changed you and made you different, and you know you're heaven bound, now take that anointing and present your prayer to God with it. But you can't do that if you've got condemnation in your heart because you still got things that you need to clean out of your house.
Right.
He said you've got to do that first. Clean those things out first. Anything that hinders, first. Get rid of those things. And then once you have that, then with confidence in the Word of God, apply your token and give forth your request in prayer. He said, he gave the example, I'm going to my loved one. I'm going to them now with your anointing upon me. And Jason mentioned last week, doesn't necessarily mean that you actually go to them physically, but in prayer. If Paul could say, you folks down there gather together with my spirit, and we'll deal with this situation. Well, Paul wasn't even there, but he could, by spirit, he could join with them and be there for what was happening. So you understand, we don't have to be right there in the room with our loved one to go to them necessarily. God might anoint you to do it that way. But most chances are it's going to be that it's going to be back here in your prayer closet. He's going to anoint you. You're going to have that token life all over you. And you're going to present that life, and through that life and the voice of that smitten lamb, you're going to pray and give back to God your request. And God has to answer it. See? So you have to project it that way. And so that's what we believe. Amen? Let's bow our hearts. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of the service now, we thank you for this time together in your Word. And Lord, we realize we live in a tremendous time. Lord, whenever it's the hour where we're just almost to the completion of this Exodus, Lord. And it's an hour, Lord, where your people need to be able to rally around the truth that you've given. As you said in your Word, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you'd raise up a standard against him. And Lord, we believe you have raised that standard today. It's the standard of the token message of this hour. And Lord, I know that Satan wants to do everything he can to keep us from being full beneficiaries to that token life and the message that it has given to us. Well, Lord, we also realize he's a defeated foe, and none of his instruments of war shall prosper against your people. Lord, you've declared it, and we believe it. And so, Lord, as we go from this place today, I pray that you give us a special anointing as we go forth, Lord, just to carry out this walk and walk in this token life and this message, Lord. That we would take this word upon us, that we'd be identified, we'd eat the lamb, Lord, and that we would stand padded, not be afraid to be identified with the word as the scoffer's cup. I know, Lord, that the persecution will get worse. You show in the heavens, Lord, when the moon turned to blood, that's a sign of something on the earth, and your moon is your church. There's been much shed blood in these hours of these moons. Lord, Christians being martyred all over the place just by the thousands. It's because the moon turning to blood. But what about your bride, Lord? Where's she at? What's she doing? Lord, I trust that she is hid away in that token message where these evils cannot come to her. I pray, God, that you would help us with inspiration, Lord, find our place of comfort in Christ Jesus, a place where we know we're safe from the world. Let us not let down the bar. Let the world influence us to where we're not ready to leave at a moment's notice. We want to be ready to have our staff in our hand, Lord. We want to eat the lamb and not despise the bitterness of it, Lord. Pray that you just help us with these things. We commit it in your hands. As always, we ask it in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand. Pray to him, sing the song.
Jesus,
the King of the
really only one kingdom left in your heart, and that's the kingdom of His Word. Amen. So God bless you, saints. We'll dismiss in just a moment. Just want to remind you to be in prayer about our meetings coming up. My wife and I have made a request for the facility that we could gather on Saturday instead of going to Western Sizzling or something like that or going to the park. We're going to try and have Saturday's functions and events. It's ringing, Ben. Saturday's functions and events at this place. It's just around the corner from our house, not too far, maybe 3/8 of a mile or half a mile, maybe not that far. But it's a conference retreat center, and maybe you've seen it as you pass by, but it's a really nice place, and the rent for the day is really, really reasonable. So we're going to, if we can get it secured, we're going to have our gathering there that day instead of having to share it with other people in a restaurant or share it with other people in the park or something like that. So please be in prayer for that we can get all that functions on that worked out, and then see how it goes. The place is really nice enough, big enough that you can do a whole weekend there. You can do an entire family camp or something if you wanted to. But so we just want to be in prayer about those services, that the Lord would give a turnout for us, and we can have some good fellowship with those churches around us. And also, as you go today, just continue to pray for the family there in Pawnee, and that the Lord would give them the strength that they need for this hour.
Amen.
How many will do that?
Amen.
Amen. I know that they would appreciate that. I guess Brother Tim goes a long ways back with them, right? Many, many years, a lot of people. And so the Applegate family just really needs your prayer. He was a believer.
Amen.
You know, he might have fell asleep, but he woke up a few seconds later in a different land. It was a lot harder on his family than it was him, if you really think about it. So let's pray for them. We know he's got his reward and he's okay now. He's tucked away safely. But let's pray for his family. Keep him in our prayers, okay? All right. God bless you. You're dismissed.